Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
Please join us in singing hymn number 427 as found in your bulletin or the blue hymnal.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men, sent to me from Caesarea, arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord and how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And then they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the book of Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated at the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Our collect for the day asks that we may follow in Christ's steps that lead the way to eternal life. And that phrase raises the question, where exactly is eternal life? Where is eternal life? Now, the most common answer that people would give is that it's in heaven with God after we die. And this has led to many misunderstandings, I believe, of Christian theology, and to many a wonderful old escapist hymn about how this world is a veil of tears, is a problem, is a strange land and not my home, and somehow heaven is where I belong. But if we look carefully at the biblical record, the location of eternal life is much more complicated than that. Eternal life has quite a bit to do with here. Eternal life has quite a bit to do with here. For example, in the reading we heard from Liam today from the book of Revelation, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new city, comes down out of heaven to the earth. This is an image that many people don't pay attention to. The idea being that after all the things that happen in the book of Revelation, the earth is reformed, reshaped, given a spiritually appropriate geography, where the new heavenly Jerusalem comes down to earth and God dwells here on earth with the people. That's a startling image for folks who are focused on going up there somewhere to heaven. And if you just read the part of Revelation that we heard today, you might be concerned because it says the sea will be no more. But if you look carefully at more of the text, you'll find that the reason the sea is no more is because in the new earth, with its new geography, water of life flows from the throne of God out to all the world. So the imagery is not that of a heavenly city, but of an earthly city, perfected with God's throne in the center, the axis of a newly created earth, where God lives with all God's people. So in that case, eternal life is here. Not in heaven, but here. It's a startling image. But we're asked to think about that. We're asked to think about the fact that we believe that eternal life starts here. That eternal life stretches from here to eternity and to heaven and back again to earth here. The dead in Christ rise to join Christ at the new Jerusalem, says the New Testament. We say our eternal life starts at baptism. When we have visitations here at the church, we put the departed person by the font, because the font is where their eternal life started. Here. It's a startling image from the book of Acts, which is focused on God's work here on this planet, God's reshaping of the world. In the book, what we know is that already Jewish Christians, the first Christians, know about Gentiles converting to the faith. And it's one thing to have those people out there in a Gentile city convert to the faith. It's quite another thing to go have dinner with them. Seriously? In their house? Okay. It's a tie to the comment that is often made about America, that Sunday morning is the most segregated time in the American continent. It's one thing to let and accept others. It's another thing to eat with them. And that's the problem that is happening in the early church. The Jewish Christians are having trouble with this. Peter is struggling with it as well. And so the Holy Spirit brings to Peter a vision, an image. And it's a fascinating image because we have to remember that in the laws of the Torah, there are laws that say things are unclean, and there are laws that say things are clean, and how to slaughter them, and how to cook them, and how to eat them. And when we look at that closely, we realize there are more laws about things that are clean than things that are unclean. Generally, the law about things that are unclean is summed up this way: don't eat that. Right? Don't eat that. And part what we have to remember is that in God's vision, in the Hebrew Bible, holiness and what God is interested in is having everything have its right place where it can flourish and be cherished. And so in that understanding, things that are unclean don't need a lot of laws. They need one law: don't eat that. Things that are clean that you might eat, slaughter and eat, then there has to be rules, because taking the life of a thing is a special case and has to be handled delicately and carefully to respect the life that is in the creature that you have to slaughter. God has no problem, as I've said many times in this congregation, with the lobster being unclean. God made the lobster. God said the lobster's unclean. Don't eat that. And presumably, if lobsters could think this way, lobsters would be like, oh, glad we're unclean. That way they leave us alone. So, there are a couple of points here. First, God says what's clean and unclean. Second, clean and unclean have to do not with a moral valuation of the thing, but how do we best respect life? So when Peter has his image and he sees the sheep come down and God say, get up, kill and eat, and then the point of the vision is, what I say clean, don't say it's unclean. Remember, Peter, I'm the one who decides what's clean and unclean. Remember, Peter, that this is about respecting life. So get up, go to this Gentile's house, respect the life and the spiritual life that you find there. Because here is where I'm working. Here. In this life is where I'm working. The same thing in the gospel. Jesus has just finished washing the disciples' feet, an act of servant ministry, an act of self-giving love. And then he says to his disciples, you're going to do what I do. You're going to keep going with what I have started here. And I'm going somewhere else. You can't go there. But I'll come back, don't worry about it, and find you here. And I'll take care of things. In the meantime, do what I just did. Love one another. Love one another with a self-giving love. Love one another with a sacrificial love. Help people know me by having them see you love others. Help people know me by having them see you love others.
love others. Here, on this planet, at this place. In the Easter season, we think a lot about eternal life. We joyously sing the Troparion 3 times every Sunday. It's great. It's wonderful to think about eternal life. But the challenge that our faith gives us when we look into it beyond just the superficial and really get into it is that the location of eternal life is all about here. And then it goes in other directions, and because it's eternal, it goes beyond what we can even imagine or expect or understand. But the focus for now is here. Following Jesus' footsteps in the way that leads to eternal life is to follow his footsteps on this planet. There's nothing particularly powerfully moral about sitting back and longing for heaven. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not the work. The work, the following the way that leads to eternal life, is to love here. To embody Christ's love on this planet, in your life, in your neighborhood, in your community. That's where eternal life starts. Following in the way that leads to eternal life means to walk out that door, walk into your neighborhood, and love people, and show them that way who Jesus is. This eternal life business is about here.
As you are able, please stand. And join me in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, true God, begotten, not made, but one being with the Father, with whom all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary, and eternally and truly given. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. All-prevailing God, your unconquerable love is manifest in the resurrection of Christ.
The risen one appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. Help us to cherish our world as the greenhouse of life, caring for our environment and all people as the ones for whom Christ lived, died, and rose.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Walking softly on this earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully along your way.
The risen one appeared to the disciples in the locked room of their fears. Help the nations of the world and all in authority to be gentle and respectful with people's hopes and anxieties. We pray for Donald, our president, Gretchen, our governor, and the mayors of Kalamazoo, Portage, and the surrounding communities. We pray for all who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, Andrew, Stephen.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one appeared by the sea. We remember before you those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, especially Rachel, John.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one was known by the good works he had done. We pray for the mission and ministry of St. Luke's Church, asking you to call forth new leaders, new workers, and a fresh vitality.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one was known by the commandment to love one another. We pray for all who are sick, suffering, or addicted, especially Lydia, Sophia, Pam, Diane, Helen, Reed, Mary, Dick, Bill.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one was known by sending of the Advocate. We pray for the Spirit to empower the worldwide Anglican Communion. Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders. We also pray for those celebrating birthdays, Dawn, Robert, Josie, Malcolm. Those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Sarah and Andrew, Sadie and John, Sandy and James, Mara and Robert, Donna and Bill. And those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Jeremy, Paul, Amy, Audrey, Connie, Gordon, Oscar, Susanna, Paige, Catherine, Reuben.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Listening with the Spirit's guidance, speaking in the Spirit's power, living hopefully along your way.
Gracious and loving God, for no merit on our part, you have brought us out of death into life, out of sorrow into joy. Put no end to your gifts. Fulfill your marvelous acts in us, and grant to us who have been justified by faith the strength to persevere in that faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. The Lord redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and hath taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again He has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. When we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. From the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us be in peace. Hallelujah.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance. Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts. By faith.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work according to his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Thanks be to God.